Welcome to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley, and I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Hunting the Way is a ministry of our Sportsman of Colorado show, and you can hear that on our sister station, KLZ 560, every Saturday from 1 to 2, just an outdoor show that we do. And we are going to pick up kind of with part two from last week, and I'm going to kind of set it up as I did last week if you were not able to catch that show. But if you would like a copy of it, all you have to do is email me, Scott, at Hunting the Way. I can get you a copy of the show, and I can also get you a copy of what we call the spiritual checkup that our guest today will be talking about. And we didn't quite get to finish some things, so we're going to recap that. But as I mentioned last week, this is something that you really don't hear much about today, whether it be on the media, and I'm putting Christian media in that as well, whether it be TV or radio. And unfortunately, even in our pulpits, you don't hear a lot about this anymore, and that's this matter of telling others about Christ and actually soul winning. And it's a term that if you've been around very long, you certainly heard of it in the churches, but it's something that has kind of slipped by the wayside, I think. And so it's a great privilege to once again introduce my father today, Bear Whatley. And as I mentioned, my dad was a bricklayer and one to the Lord a number of years back by Dr. Jack Hiles, and nicknamed my dad Bear, and that has stuck with him all through the years. So, Dad, once again, great to have you on Hunting the Way.
Good to be with you, Scott, and the people of Colorado. Scott, we touched base on the spiritual checkup last week that I kind of developed over the years, and your sweet wife helped me put it on paper. But, you know, I was thinking, as I was thinking about this broadcast, I use many different ways to have a spiritual checkup with a man. I use a lot of, Brother House taught me, every situation, you can use that situation from where you stand for a spiritual checkup. And I've learned to do that over the years. For instance, there was a postman pulled up behind me, a mailman. He pulled up behind me in his truck. I got out, walked back there, and I said, "Dear sir, you're a postman. Can you tell me how to get to the post office from right here?" And he said, "Yes, sir, I'd be happy to." So he told me, I said, "Now tell me word for word, turn for turn, how to get to the post office." And he told me exactly word for word, turn for turn, red light for red light, how to get to the U.S. Post Office. And then I asked him, there was another corner up there named Miller Road and Garland Road, just a few blocks from us. I knew right where it was. But I said, "Dear sir, can you tell me how to get to Miller Road and Garland Road?" And he was thought I was just as sincere as I could be. And he said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Now tell me turn for turn, how do I get there?" And he told me, "Go right up to the end of the street, take a left, and go right down to the red light, and you'll be there." And I said, "Sir, would you be honest with me, please? I want you to be so honest, and please answer me honest. If I ask you today, how can I get to heaven, how can I prepare to get to heaven so that when I die, I will go to heaven? You gave me word for word, turn for turn, how to get to the U.S. Post Office. You gave me turn for turn how to get to the corner of Miller Road and Garland Road. Can you give me turn for turn, word for word, how I can prepare to die and go to heaven when I die?" And he said, "Sir, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue." And I said, "Well, has anyone ever taken the Bible and showed you how you can know for sure, turn for turn, how to get to heaven when you die?" He said, "No, sir, no one's ever done that." I pulled out my New Testament. We laid it up on the hood of his car. I found out if you'll take time, they'll take time. Mm-hmm. And I took him right down the Roman road that's in this spiritual checkup, and I got him lost, and I got him saved. And that man received the Lord Jesus as his Savior that day. And he was so tickled when he got through. And so He said, I cannot wait to get back to the post office. He said, there's a man been talking to me and witnessing to me for 6 months down there and trying to get me to go to church. And I cannot wait till I get back to the post office to tell him that I have found the way. I have received the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And Scott, I was seeing people like this saved in the yard, raking up their leaves on the highway, and different people walking down the road. And I asked the Lord, I said, dear Lord, would you please give me some verses? I was not educated at all, but I asked the Lord, would you give me some verses that I can leave this type person grounded in the Word of God? Leave him with something. He may never have a good pastor. He may never have a good church home. Please give me some verses that I can leave with a person like this to where they know beyond a shadow of a doubt what God's Word says about going to heaven when they die. And I begin to hear one. A preacher'd be preaching, and I'd write it down, and another, and another, and another. And I said, thank you, dear Lord. That's the questions I want to ask. That's the assurance scriptures that I want. And so I'm going to give those to you, Scott.
Okay.
And so once a person receives Christ as Savior, and I asked him, and I said, now let's see what the Bible says. How many times must you be saved? How many times do you need to accept Jesus as your Savior according to the Bible? I give him Hebrews 10:10. Hebrews 10:10. By thee which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So I say, how many times do you have to be saved? Once and for all. He'll answer me. And these questions and answers came straight from heaven, straight to me, to put on that piece of paper in that manner. So that's the first question. How many times must you be saved? And the Bible says, Hebrews 10:10, once and for all. And then the next one, I ask a question, will he ever cast you out? And so let's see what the Bible says about that. Will he ever cast you out? That's John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And I say, dear sir, did you just accept Jesus as your Savior? Did you just come to him? He said, yes, I did. Then he says, I will in no wise cast you out. The next question I ask him is, did he give you 6 days life? 6 weeks life, 6 months life, 6 years life. What kind of life did he just give you? Let's look at the Bible and see what it says about that. That's John 10:28-29. And I give unto them, notice the word give, I always point it out, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I take him by the wrist with my left hand. Jesus said, no man will pluck you out of my hand. He's holding on to you. You're not holding on to him.
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I take him, get him by the other wrist. I'm holding his hands up. And I'm gripping him by each wrist with my hands, and I'm gripping him good and tight so he knows I'm holding on to him. He's not holding on to me. And so that's John 10:28-29. So I ask him now, are you going through life holding on to them, or are you going through life with them holding on to you?
Right.
And he'll say, no, they're holding on to me. And so then I go to, can anything ever separate you from the love of God? Let's see what the Bible has to say about that. The question is, can anything ever separate you from the love of God? That's Romans 8:38-39. And he's going to name everything above the earth, on the earth, and below the earth. And here's what it says, Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And I always point back, did you see things present or things to come? Things present is right now when you just accepted Jesus as your Savior. Things to come is whatever comes in your life after the minute that you accept Christ as your Savior. And he said they will never separate you from him.
You're listening to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley. If you're just listening for the first time, this is a relatively new show here on KLTT, and we want to thank you for joining us. This is a ministry of our Sportsman of Colorado show. Last week would have been part one of what you're hearing today, and my guest is my father today, Bear Whatley, and we're talking about a spiritual checkup, and we'll recap this before the end of the show. And again, if you would like a copy of what we are talking about, if you'll just simply send me an email at scott@huntingtheway.com, I will absolutely get that to you. We received some great emails from last week's broadcast and phone calls. And so this is something, folks, that's very, very important. And as I mentioned last week, holidays are going to be upon us here pretty quick. We're going to be around friends and family. How do you talk to people about the Lord? And, you know, we're doing this in two stages. Number one, that you know personally, and it doesn't matter where you go to church, how long you've been going to church, who your parents are, all your associations and religious activities, all of that. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and how you can know 100% sure that when you die, you go to heaven. Then the second part of this is how to talk to others, and that's what we're talking about. We would love to get you a copy of this, so again, just send me an email at scott@huntingtheway. And we're going through some assurance scriptures now, which my dad has gone through, and if you just got in the vehicle or just turned on the radio, how many times must you be saved? The scripture verse for that is Hebrews 10:10. Will he ever cast you out? John 6:37. Did he give you 6 days life, 6 weeks life, 6 months life, or 6 years life? John 10:28 and 29 talks about eternal life. Can anything ever separate you from the love of God? And that's Romans 8:38 and 39. And then what's that last one, Dad?
Well, the last one, Scott, is does God want you to think you're going to heaven, hope you're going to heaven, or does he want you to know you're going to heaven? That's 1 John 5:11-13. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I always tell people, believe on his name to know that you have it, but you accept him as your Savior to get it.
Yes.
John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him, not about him, in him, shall never perish, but have everlasting life. Scott, these five verses of assurance, I believe the Lord gave me the questions and the verses for this purpose. And there are five of them. And I never lead a person to Christ that I don't sit down and take him through all five of these. It doesn't take but a minute. I've never seen anybody. You've got their attention, and they do not mind. The thing to do is to have your plan and go through with that plan. And then the spiritual checkup, son, the reason that I used the spiritual checkup, like I asked the man the directions to the post office and to the nearest, sometime I'll ask him where the nearest restaurant and the turn for that. And so there are many ways to get into it. What you want to do is never mention the Savior. You want to surprise them it's a surprise when they write their answers down on their spiritual checkup. It surprises them. One preacher friend of mine says, you trap them. It's a trap. And I said, yes, I guess you're right. It does trap them, and there's no way out of it except through Jesus Christ as their Savior. Once they write their answers down, then they have committed themselves to what they believe. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So when you're sitting around with your family, whether it be on the patio or Christmas dinner, keep the name of Christ to yourself and Calvary, and just listen to them, talk to them, and ask them questions for their sake. You can lose them so easy. There are so many people that are religious but lost. They know the language, but they do not know the Savior.
No, and so let me interject where you say, you know, where the one pastor that was a trap. And so what we're talking about, and again, if you didn't listen last week and you'd like a copy of that show, be happy to send that to you. But what my father has done with his spiritual checklist is getting people to really take an inside look at them and not their family, but them personally. And then a couple of the questions real quick. What has ever taken place in your life to change this direction for you, meaning what has ever taken place in their life for them to get to go to heaven? And then if today someone came to you and asked you, how can I have my sins forgiven? How can I have peace with God? How can I go to heaven when I die? What would you tell them? And then we go to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. So the price of sin is death. Personally, how have you taken care of this payment in your life? And so these are questions. And so the reason why, and I just want to be clear with everyone, that you know, you get them to put this in their own words, and you don't give them that terminology, because then if you start saying, have you ever accepted Christ as your personal Savior, a lot of people, I'm sure, would answer, well, yes, I've done that, because in their mind, they believe in God. And, Dad, you and I talked about it real quick. You know, I was talking about, you know, a prescription bottle. If we all just felt like belief would do it, and not really repenting of your sins and all that, you know, you could carry that prescription bottle around with you in your pocket. But it is not going to do you any good until you accept it. And you can believe the medicine will heal you, but if you don't take it, you're not going to get well. And so that's the same type of deal. So go ahead.
Well, I sat down with a man Sunday night. He was 88 years old, Scott. I put him through this spiritual checkup, and we had no disturbance. We were sitting there. He's going in for surgery this week. He's got cancer, and he was dead serious listening. And I put him through this spiritual checkup. There are 9 questions, and on every answer after those questions on the spiritual checkup, he put God. He believed in God. Every answer was God. God was his Savior. God was it. He said he'd been saved. And I said, well, what do you call being saved? He said, I believe in God. Mm-hmm. And every answer he gave, 9 answers, was God. And when I showed him the second page, nowhere on that page did you put the Lord Jesus, Calvary, the old rugged cross. And John 14:6 says,
where Jesus said to them, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And that's our verse for our show.
Yes. Yes. And I said, Joe, where does that leave you? And it says, there is no way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Mm-hmm. And the minute you try to go to God the Father without accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you delete the process. Because he will not hear you. You can accept Jesus. I mean, you can accept the Father, but he will not accept you. He said, there's 1 John 5:11-13, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And, you know, for the first time, he has not missed a service in over 50 years, Scott.
Wow.
And he did not know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And every answer he gave was the Father, God the Father.
And, you know, what do you...
And so he got it straight. He got it straight.
Right.
And now, I said, Joe, you're not ready to die. And I said, now you are. Mm-hmm. So I took him through the assurance scriptures, and he thanked me from the bottom of his heart for showing him the truth.
Right. And what do you say... What do you say to the folks that... And again, I want to get back to your own personal story, which you shared last week on the show, but what do you say to those people that, you know what, I have gone down to an altar, or I've knelt at my coffee table, I've knelt beside my bed, I've prayed a prayer, but
yes,
nothing changed. Go back bit to your story for those that may have not missed, that might have missed last week's show.
Well, I went down four aisles, I prayed four prayers, and I was baptized three times. I thought they were going to drown me, Scott. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And you know what? All the time, when Brother House came, showed me the Roman road, then I saw where Jesus died. He took my place. In the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, it says, he made his grave with the wicked to take my wicked place. By his stripes we're healed. So I accepted Jesus as my Savior that night. I've never had a doubt nor a fear since. That was January 1955. But what was I doing wrong? And that's what these people do wrong. When they get down to that altar, they're accepting what they're going to do. See, they're accepting Jesus as a package situation. And therefore, he will not accept them. They're accepting how they're going to live, how they're going to go to church, how they're going to treat their wife. They're going to change their conversation and their habits. And yes, I believe in Jesus, or I accept him. Well, when you add your life to his life, then it voids, it deletes the process. You've accepted self and Savior. You have not accepted the Savior for who he is and what he did. And that's the mistake people make. And they keep having problems in their life. You can go back to where they trusted Christ and they added something to the Savior, which deleted the process. And if you talk to them long enough, they will expose that to you by giving you the wrong answers. And sometimes they'll give you three right answers and four wrong answers. And I took a man the other day, I don't know if I told you or not, but I said, did you ever own a jigsaw puzzle? Did you ever have a jigsaw puzzle in a box? I said, you know your Bible. You've got all the pieces, but you do not have them in the right place. Mm-hmm. You've got to have the pieces in the right place to make the right picture. Jesus has to be in the center. He, by himself as Savior. It's not self and Savior. Romans 10:3, it says, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to every man that believeth. And it's in Jesus and Jesus alone, just like John 14:6 says. And when you add anything to him, and you get them to write it down, and you keep your mouth shut about what you know, they're going to write down sometime three or four right answers, three or four wrong answers. But when they did accept him, they deleted the process. They accepted him, but he did not accept them. If you add one thing of your works or your life or your goodness to Jesus Christ, then you have not accepted him as Savior. You have accepted self and Savior.
I've only got just a couple of minutes, Dad, and so we may have to do this in part three, but take a minute and just talk about baptism and what baptism is.
Well, Scott, I like to use people, you know, after you lead them to Christ, they say, well, I've been baptized. And I said, well, you took a picture of something that never happened because you were not saved. We just found that out. You just received Christ as Savior. You took a picture. See, baptism is a picture of salvation. And so what I do is I pull out my driver's license, and I show them my picture, and I say, who is that? And they'll say, that's you. And I say, no, that's a picture of me. And that's the difference. Baptism is a picture. It's a public profession. And you're showing the world out there and the people in church that you're not ashamed that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so that's the way, and I tell them, I show them a wedding ring, and I say, now that does not make me a married man, a wedding ring. Mm-hmm. But it's a symbol that I'm not ashamed that I'm a married man.
Right.
And so it's the same as the wedding ring on your finger. And that's the way I try to explain it, Scott.
Okay.
But I sure thank you, son, for letting me talk to the folks. I hope they'll write in and get this in detail. And the secret is do not mention Jesus. Do not mention the old rugged cross. Do not mention the Savior. And you can talk about God some, because John 14:6 knocks that down.
Sure.
But never give your cards away. Get them to fill out and ask them these questions. But they'll give themselves away, and they write it down. And this man the other night, 88 years old, if he had not written down his answers, he went back and looked at his answers. And then his wife filled out one correctly, and he went back and looked at hers. And it proves to them that they really did not know,
right,
and that was in their heart. It just somehow, it just comes back and hits them right in the mouth that they really didn't know the way.
Yes, sir. Well, if you would like more information on this, please feel free to send me an email, scott@huntingtheway.com. It's a spiritual checkup. Again, last week was part one. This week, part two, and if you'd like a copy of these shows, we'll be glad to get that to you. So, Dad, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for joining us today for Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley, and remember, God's way is the best way. Have a great day.